The Golang Generic Collections Proposal, GitHub Issue 8590, is the kind of thing that looks like a routine language evolution discussion until you see 132 comments and realize the Go community is having a genuine philosophical argument about what the language is supposed to be.
Go's history with generics is worth a quick recap for listeners who haven't followed it. For years, Go famously didn't have generics at all. The language's designers at Google viewed the complexity cost as too high for the benefits, and the community split into two camps: people who thought this was elegant simplicity and people who thought it was unnecessary pain. Generics finally landed in Go 1.18 in 2022, but they were deliberately conservative. You got type parameters, but the standard library didn't immediately get a suite of generic collection types to go with them.
This proposal for a container/package with generic collection types, sets, ordered maps, priority queues, that sort of thing, is essentially saying the language has the mechanism, now let's build the vocabulary. The resistance in the comments is interesting. Some people genuinely don't want this because they think it encourages over-engineering in a language that prizes directness. Others are pointing out that every Go team is currently writing their own versions of these types anyway, which is the worst possible outcome. You get the complexity without the shared vocabulary.
The development pipeline is a production system piece from Jerry Orr, is a different kind of infrastructure argument. The core claim is that your CI or CD pipeline, your local development environment, your testing infrastructure, these aren't supporting systems that you can treat as second-class citizens relative to production code. They're production systems for the internal customers who are your engineers, and they deserve the same reliability engineering discipline.
This is something that organizations learn painfully. I've seen companies where a flaky CI system costs 20 to 30 minutes of developer time per engineer per day. Multiply that across 100 engineers, and you're losing months of productivity annually to infrastructure that nobody wanted to budget proper reliability work into. The post has 92 points and 39 comments, and the thread is people sharing war stories about what happens when you treat your build pipeline as a maintenance burden rather than a critical system.
Solid Q 1.6.0 adding fiber worker support is a smaller story, but worth flagging for the Rails community. Solid Q is the database-backed background job framework that's becoming part of the Rails default stack. And fiber workers mean you can handle significantly higher concurrency for I or O-bound jobs without threading overhead. The score is modest at 17 points. But background job architecture is one of those areas where the wrong choice at scale creates very expensive problems later.
The AWS Secrets Manager Terraform Least Privilege piece is in similar territory, specific, practical, and valuable for exactly the people who need it. The principle of least privilege in IAM is one of those things that every security review recommends, and almost every startup gets wrong in the early days because the path of least resistance is to grant too much. A concrete guide to doing it right with Terraform is the kind of reference that gets bookmarked and actually used.
Microsoft's Flint visualization language is a more ambitious project. 135 points and 47 comments. It's positioned as a declarative language for building data visualizations that's specifically designed to work well with AI-generated code. The idea is that if you're asking an AI to produce charts and graphs, you want a grammar that's expressive enough for AI to generate correctly and constrained enough that the output is actually legible. The HN comment thread is cautiously optimistic. The proof will be in how it handles edge cases in real datasets.
And the piece on pushing 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi to its physical limits is a 2019 piece that's resurfacing, which suggests someone in the community recently needed to solve a long-range wireless problem and found it. The fundamental physics of 802.11 is fascinating. Getting reliable multi-kilometer links out of consumer hardware requires careful antenna design, proper Fresnel zone clearance, and understanding that the theoretical range limits are genuinely achievable if you do everything else right. It's the kind of deep technical knowledge that exists in specialist communities and occasionally surfaces on HN to the delight of everyone.